much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We gotta get better, man. We came out the last couple days and did good. This was bull. Let's turn it around. We gotta have a great day today, man. Let's go. Get better. One, two, three. Get better.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Now that we found love, what are we gonna do?
Shut your mouth and shut it and shut up and shut up!
Do a little dance. Make a little love. Get down tonight.
See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
And now.
And incidentally, have you noticed what's happened to daytime television?
No.
It's all about the women. There's Kelly. There's Rachel. There's The View, there's The Talk, there's Ellen, there's...
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson.
Our feature presentation.
That's the best.
That cannot have been on purpose.
No, I'm sure not.
No way is Larry King that funny. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning. I'd like to start off with a story about a mother who's accused of running a $750,000 a year online escort agency.
How much? A year?
$750,000 a year.
Not bad.
Not bad, right?
Yeah.
$750,000. She said she started working in the vice trade because, quote, her two favorite things in the world are money and sex.
It's a perfect job.
Marie McKinley, 40, alleged to have employed up to 25 high-class hookers who could provide anything from, quote, the girlfriend experience to, quote, the porn star experience. And she seems to have made more than £350,000 in profit in 3 years.
Nice.
So it's quite profitable.
Yeah.
Asked why she began the vice, she said, I've asked this question many times over the years. The way I answer it is, my two favorite things in the world are money and sex. I absolutely love them. And a job that allows me to put them together? Why wouldn't I?
It's a win-win. Well, so is she working too, or is she in management? Or is she doing both?
I think they're accusing her of being
the ringleader, the madam,
yeah. She said she'd been able to meet a, quote, class of gentlemen that I've never met before. I had a couple of trips to Dubai, Paris, Geneva, staying in five-star hotels, places that I had not been doing this job. If I wasn't doing this job, I couldn't afford to go. So prosecutors claim the former escort, which is this woman, who is currently pregnant again.
Oh, wait a minute.
Bankrolled her two daughters' private school education. So she has two daughters and a third on the way, and she's running a prostitution ring.
Usually those ladies are pretty good at not getting pregnant.
You would think.
Usually.
You would think they would understand how that works.
It's part of the job. It's like OSHA safety.
Right.
That's just one of the things that you have to do.
Right. Say what you want about porn and the porn industry, which does a pretty decent job of policing themselves. If you're going to go to some stranger's house, there's no question about safety.
Right.
But maybe she wanted to get pregnant again. Maybe she likes
maybe
having kids,
so.
Too. I like having kids. I like money. And I like sex.
I get the feeling that if she had it to do all over again, she would do it.
She would do it exactly the
same. No regrets.
So she's on trial for that. So congratulations to her. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. Today we have highlights of Doomsday Preppers. These people be crazy.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of them with the gas masks on.
They are convinced that the world's going to end, and not like most of us where we go, well, one day maybe. No, they think maybe this year, maybe
soon.
Next year.
Yeah. Well, and if they're right, ha-ha on us.
Right. They say they hope they're wrong, but the way they're planning and the extremes they go to.
That's their whole life, isn't it?
Yeah, their whole life is doing this. And they have a year's supply of food and a year's supply of, you know, medicine, everything that you could possibly imagine. So I got some highlights of that. Beer Mug went and visited the people at Twilight over the weekend.
Oh, Mugs. My people.
They were down in front of Nokia.
You shouldn't be proud of that, Lisa, to claim them as your people. They are nuts.
We like
the
guys who sparkle.
Well, no. Lisa likes the movies.
I actually don't even like the movies. Oh, I like the books, but I have to see all the movies because I started.
Okay, but you're not in a tent down in front of Nokia.
I am not.
Correct?
Not.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
They're kind of my people.
So Beer Mug talks to them. Very exciting. Petros Papadakis will be on the program today. talking about USC-UCLA, which is coming up this weekend. Okay. Stupid ways you hurt yourself. We're going to take your calls.
Based on a Kevin story.
I have another one of those.
Surprise, surprise.
Unfortunately. Dr. Drew will be on the program today. We're going to talk to Bean from the hospital today.
Oh, Bean.
I hope he's heavily sedated, though. I'd like to hear that.
That would be fun.
I think that'd be fun. And we also have Brad Williams, comedian Brad Williams, who's filling in for Ralph today. So he's got the showbiz beat. We'll get to that right after this on the world famous K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52. That, of course, Group Love playing the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. You can get tickets for that Friday, tomorrow at noon, but you have to be a street team member. So go to krock.com, register, and you'll get a password. You can enter the password at noon tomorrow, and you can buy tickets for both nights of the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Ralph's out today filling in for the showbiz. My man, Funny Brad, has joined us.
I'm back, everybody.
Welcome, Brad.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I gotta get me some of those acoustic Christmas tickets.
Nope.
No?
I mean, yeah, sure.
You guys don't pay me.
That's true. That's a good point.
Pay me with the acoustic Christmas tickets. Make it worth it.
We'll let you see one band.
All right.
Pick one.
Rise Against.
Okay, good.
Make it happen. Let's get to the showbiz news, everybody. You know what? It looks like those Mayans, they were on to something.
Are we all going to die?
We're getting this news in the showbiz?
Yes.
No kidding.
This is the end times based on something that is going to air tonight on NBC.
What?
There's another member of the Lohan family.
What? What?
What are you talking
about?
There's
a brand new member of the Lohan family.
What?
I said there's a brand new member of the Lohan family.
That we didn't know about
until? That you didn't know about until tonight on NBC. Well, we know about it right now because I'm reporting it. But tonight on NBC in a televised special, it is revealed that Michael Lohan has another daughter.
How old is the daughter?
17.
Come on.
Come on with the come on.
If you were Michael Lohan's daughter, would you admit it? Do you want to be part of that family?
God, no. You see him out in the news and being all...
Oh, they're nuts.
A-hole-ish? No
I'd rather
way.
Find out that a paper bag that was going down the street in the wind was my father than Michael Lohan. Terrible. But a woman named Christy Horn, I guess, was saying that Michael was the father of this child for years and wanting child support and things of that nature.
Let me guess, he'd been turning it down?
You think?
What a surprise.
I know, shocker. And Michael Lohan just said, no. But then I think she baited him by saying, well, let's just have a paternity test, but we'll do it on TV.
Oh, well. Lohan cannot resist doing something on TV.
Yes, and since Lohans can resist neither drugs nor television exposure, Michael agreed to it. And the special, like I said, airs tonight on NBC. And it is revealed that the 17-year-old girl is, in fact, his daughter.
The fact that he agreed to do it on TV says everything.
The fact that he said no to her whole life.
Yes.
Yes, that says everything.
Right,
yes.
That's one. And then two, he'll do it on TV.
Yes.
It is so pathetic.
Wow.
I mean, this guy's done rehab on TV.
What a gigantic ass.
He tried to film Lindsay's intervention, put that on TV. It's terrible. And the thing is, with this girl being 17 years old, that puts her being born in about 1995. Now, Lindsay Lohan has two other siblings, Allie and Cody. They were born in 93 and 96.
Oops.
Which means that Michael Lohan, believe it or not, this may shock you, he may have some character issues and was cheating on Dina.
Do we know it's not Dina's?
They know it's not Dina's.
They do.
Yes.
And the plot thickens. Wow, I can't imagine a stand-up guy like that would cheat.
Absolutely not. But, you know, I'm sure now that this girl and this family knows that they're tied in with the Lohans and Lindsay and all that family, I'm sure now that they've found that out, they'll just go right into silence. Yeah. They won't mention it.
Sure.
They won't ask for money. Oh, wait. Yeah, they're going to be asking for money.
He doesn't have any money.
No, but she does.
Yeah, but he doesn't have her money.
No. But that won't keep her from trying.
They'll try to get to it. You can see the footage on TMZ.com. They have a little clip of when it's actually revealed. And the moment Michael Owen just kind of slumps over, but then he gets up and he tries to hug the daughter.
Oh, yeah. Like, after slumping.
You know, 17 years, we can start being a father now. I mean,
She deserves whatever he should have paid her.
Yeah, agreed.
Totally.
But will she get it?
I don't know. I doubt it.
There's NBA players that are like, man, that is not how you treat a daughter out of wedlock. Come on, Michael.
That's unbelievable.
Well, let's get to good news.
Yes.
Let's just get to good news. Justin Bieber.
I'm sorry, is there a story?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Justin Bieber, his clock might, I don't know how much longer he's going to be on this planet.
Hopefully not long. Why?
Because he apparently is having a midlife crisis.
A midlife crisis?
He went out and...
He's 13.
Yeah. And he went out and bought a $20,000 Ducati motorcycle. Which he was spotted racing down the 405 freeway yesterday.
All right.
At speeds exceeding 80 miles an hour.
All right. Let's make this happen.
We all know the 405 has no traffic. It's just a wide open lane. Everyone knows that about the 405. But like I said, kind of a midlife crisis thing for Bieber. Because, I mean, he just got a ticket in his, a speeding ticket in the Ferrari. He's got a motorcycle now. He's hanging out with models and trying to make his ex-girlfriend jealous. So, yeah.
Death pool.
You're right. The Ducati, that is the body donor.
So, what do we got? Bean first or Bieber first?
Ooh. I hope Bieber. I really do.
Maybe Bieber by Christmas.
Well,
that motorcycle?
Yeah, with that motorcycle. My prediction is that first Bieber, then immediately Bean falls on his own sword.
It could be.
And says, I can't live in a world without my Justin Bieber.
I'm sorry.
I can't live in a world without my Justin. Maybe as long as I have my Taylor Swift, but not my Justin.
Yeah, his T-swizzle, he calls her.
Where's my kidney?
I want that back.
Let's get the celebrity birthdays. Actress Beverly D'Angelo, you know her from the Vacation movies, and then more recently in Entourage and Law & Order Special Victims Unit. She is 61 years old today. Actor Johnny Lee Miller from Elementary, Sherlock Holmes.
You watch that show?
Yeah.
That's a good show.
He is good. Johnny Lee Miller... from Elementary, brother of Angelina Jolie.
Really? I didn't know that.
Isn't that right?
I don't know.
I think they are.
I don't know.
Is that right? I could be wrong. I'll fact check that. But yeah. And
that's what we do here is we put out information.
Sure.
And later we go fact check it.
Yeah, I'll go back.
Sometimes we fact check it as well.
Now, a moment with Kevin. He is 40 years old today. Chad Kroeger from Nickelback. He's unfortunately 38 years old today. Model and TV personality Gemma. Let's go with Gemma Atkinson.
I believe it's Gemma.
Gemma? Yeah, all right. Let's go with Gemma. Bells!
I've done my research.
We did fact check that one.
I've done my research on her.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Fact check maybe two or three times this morning. She's 28 years old today. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. And I pitter patter on the showbiz.
Your tickets for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas on the way. Beer mug with the people camped out at Twilight. Can't wait for that. Petros Papadakis, Dr. Drew. We're going to talk to Bean a little bit later on. But first, Doomsday Preppers. We talked to one of these guys, Thurston Chestwick, or whatever that guy's name was. I don't remember what his name was. But
Braxton Southwick.
All right, whatever. Who cares? That guy's a nut job.
But he sounded disappointingly reasonable.
He did, but you didn't see the show.
True.
As they are not decently reasonable. Here's the intro to the show, Doomsday Prepper.
Across the country, ordinary Americans from all walks of life are taking whatever measures necessary to prepare.
My family is preparing for a biological terrorist attack.
Okay, that was Winston Southnut, and he's sitting on a motorcycle. His family are on motorcycles, and they all have gas masks on when he says that.
And they're ready to take off at any moment.
Yep.
For the New Madrid earthquake.
For a series of F5 tornadoes.
And protect themselves.
Watch it, Jim. Push him away.
Stop right there.
They're using pepper spray and they're training for close quarter combat.
From what they perceive is the fast approaching end of the world as we know it. Next, we go inside the lives of three committed preppers who have devised extensive plans.
Look at me. Read my lips. I am not going to drink my own urine.
Gone to great lengths.
I'm not afraid to have to kill.
15 years old.
Oh.
Not afraid to have to kill.
And made huge personal sacrifices to ensure their very survival. This is Doomsday Preppers.
What's interesting about this show, not only that they are crazy people, but they all have one thing that they're super worried about. It's the one thing they're convinced. Like the guy that we talked to, Johnson Mistwick, he thought it was going to be smallpox. Remember, if somebody released smallpox. So his whole plan is involving smallpox. Well, that doesn't work for Big Al. Big Al is worried about Russia.
Still
worried about Russia. They still have plenty of weapons, and as soon as they sense a little bit of weakness on our part as the United States, they will launch them all.
Okay, when they are learning hand-to-hand combat,
yes.
My first thought was, we're not getting invaded, so are they going to fight off the other people who aren't prepared and now want their stuff?
All of them are the same.
Okay.
All of them are the same, whether it's a financial crisis or a nuclear war or a smallpox outbreak. Most of America will be decimated. The remaining people that aren't ready will be coming to your house to try and take stuff. So it's basically they're taking on other Americans.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they're really planning. Now, Big Al doesn't need food. His nickname is right.
How big is he?
Oh, I would guess 350.
Wow. Big Al. He cannot run fast.
Big Al, he can't, but he also doesn't need food for like 3 months.
That's true.
He'd be fine. Here's Big Al.
I'm afraid that if we get to a point to where they perceive us as being weak or having lost our ability to defend ourselves, they're going to fire God knows how many missiles at how many targets. Hope you all hell break loose. The first day, a whole lot of bombs going off, a whole lot of cities destroyed, a whole lot of people killed. Second day would be basically waking up to hell, and the third day would be, okay, what am I going to eat?
Right. Although for the answer for Big Al is nothing.
And then they benefit by destroying us. How? Has he thought about that?
No, like, no one. What? Lisa, no one has thought this stuff through. Like,
I'm confused.
If smallpox comes, this dude Big Al is not ready. Only if it's a nuclear strike from Russia, is he right?
Okay.
So about 1,800 miles away, he's got this underground bunker that he likes to stay at. And he's got his food there.
That seems far.
Yes. He's going to drive there. He's going to go underground and he's going to live there. And to make sure that he can do that, he runs tests every once in a while.
So to condition himself for a long-term stay underground, Big Al lives in his bunker for 3 months out of every year.
3 months a year he's in his bunker.
Does he just sit in there and eat?
By himself, yes. He makes what he calls doomsday prepper stew. It just takes like 5 cans of whatever, mixes it together, and makes it.
Okay.
And then that's it. And then basically he just sits around.
He conditions himself by just laying there and getting weaker.
It isn't like Big Al has a life, goes out. Knows any women, so he's fine. He's good that way.
Well, he's got a good life to protect.
And the only thing that he really cares about is this.
I'm not going to drink my own urine, okay? Look at me. Read my lips. I am not going to drink my own urine.
Boop! Cut to drinking his own urine. You know that's going to happen. He's cursing the gods just by saying it. Read my lips. I am not going to drink my urine. You know he's going to drink
his urine. He's awesome.
All right. Jason is a 15-year-old. 15.
Mm.
And this isn't coming from mom and dad. This is coming from 15-year-old Jason.
Seriously?
Yes.
Jason started prepping in 2008 at age 11.
Okay. So
Jason's got problems.
He started when he was 11.
Got big worries for
listen
an
11-year-old. To what he was doing while I was looking through Sears catalogs for bra ads.
As he watched the country reel from the banking and mortgage crisis.
I started to become a prepper when I was researching facts about the economy and how it's falling.
So he did that when he was 11. He was paying attention to why the economy was falling.
Wow.
So he's protecting himself in case there is a financial collapse. And he's got some friends that he's going to take with him. And his mom's curious if she's a part of the plan.
You should always be smart enough to know when you stay and fight and when you leave. And right now, with my size and my age, it's best to take what you can carry, leave, but come back when they have their guard down.
Right.
So, Jason, are you going to take your mom with you when you bug out?
No.
Oh.
No?
Why not?
And by the way, he's serious. He's serious. Bug out is the term they all use for go to their their you know, shelter. She says, why not? And he's really serious about the fact that you can't have people there who can't fight and be warriors.
She's
the weak link.
No, I gotcha.
Because I am
an asset.
You gotta choose smart. Numbers can actually be bad.
He's serious. He's looking at his mom and he's saying, you know what? I have a plan. Can I come? No. It's his own mom.
You know what I say? Get the hell out of my house.
It's his own mother. Of course, country music goes with this show. That's not a surprise.
Get ready for the worst. Pray for the better. When it all hits the fan, you better have your stuff together. Just living the life.
Sing it if you know.
I'm a doomsday prepper.
That was Big Al, who's a musician by an engineer, a musician engineer part time,
okay,
while he's not prepping. So one more time.
Read my lips. I am not going to drink my own urine.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Doomsday Preppers.
Woo! Best I'm show. Watching.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Oh, we weren't hanging. No, I thought we were hanging.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till 7 o'clock. Coming up, we have Beer Mug on the red carpet of Twilight.
Yeah.
It's not on the red carpet. It's in Tent City.
Oh, that's even better.
Where the people live out in tents for 3 days. We also have Petros Papadakis in the studio talking USC, UCLA. We have Dr. Drew. We're going to talk to Bean a little bit later on. Filling in for Ralph today is Brad Williams.
Yeah.
Funny man, Brad Williams. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. And while I'm doing the Showbiz Beat right now, if you want to see me actually do stand-up, come on out to the Irvine Improv this Sunday, November 18th. I'll be headlining there. And then go out to the IE Friday, November 23rd, the day after Thanksgiving. You can go down to the IE, go to the Ontario Improv, where I'm doing two shows there. Day after Thanksgiving, you'll have all those calories. Go down to the IE, you can laugh them off. There's meth there, and then you can just burn it all off in
one day. Good point.
So, Ontario Improv, Friday, November 23rd. Let's get showbiz news, everyone. I think Kristen Stewart is finally getting the picture.
Nope.
No, she is, Kevin?
All right.
Because she went to the premiere of Breaking Dawn in a nice little evening gown. Everything was good. Everything was glamorous. And then when she came out afterward, after the movie has shown, she was wearing jeans, t-shirt, Converse, and a jacket that on the back said, God loves ugly. She's getting it.
Wow. Maybe she's getting it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
God you know loves what? Ugly.
Yeah. And, you know, it could be a message to other people out there. Or
she
maybe
ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
And see? She's getting it.
How about that?
Good for Kristen Stewart.
Why is your voice going so high?
She finally knows she's ugly. I don't know why. I just assume that people just assume that's how dwarves talk, so I should like throw it in every now and then.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Courtney Stodden. Yeah, the gays don't like her.
This is the now 17-year-old?
17-year-old married to the 52-year-old Doug Hutchinson.
Right.
She's been on that Green Mile show.
Yeah, and apparently she was hired to do a pole dancing gig at the Abbey Club in West Hollywood.
The Abbey, yeah.
Yeah,
famous. Oh, I know. I mean, I've heard of it.
She's going to sing.
Kevin likes to go down there and get free Cosmopolitan. K-Rock fans go, take a few of those to get that big head drunk.
Easy with the big head comment.
That's true. That's definitely pot calling the kettle black for that one. Woo! I don't have dreams. I have movies. All right, moving on. She was scheduled to do a pole dancing gig there at the Abbey, and I think maybe they just got a picture of her or something, and they said, sure, we'll hire her. But then once the club actually found out who she was, they did a swift nope.
Yeah.
And canceled that. And now she's going back to her original job she does for money, and that is hooking. Hooking.
So, all right.
So she'll still be on Hollywood Boulevard, but in a completely different capacity.
Walking instead of on the pole.
Absolutely.
All right.
Hulk Hogan news. Yeah.
There's more?
Yeah. a judge ruled that the website Gawker.com is allowed to keep the clip of the sex tape online.
Is that right?
That yes. Exciting, exciting clip.
Hulk was, if you may remember, Hulk was suing the website for $100 million.
Yep.
Hoping that they would take down the clip, but now I just guess anytime you want, you can go to Gawker.com and see a clip of Hulk Hogan having sex.
Brad. All right, it's not your thing, but... it's not your thing, but take it easy. Jeez. You gotta clean that up.
Did you know that midgets puked rainbows?
I did not. Not till right now.
I didn't know either.
Wait till the people at the Abbey find this out.
This is new to me. Hey, let's get. Oh, I need a glass of water. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, everyone. And actress Beverly D'Angelo from Vacation, from Entourage. She's 61 today. I have a correction from last
Already?
Hour.
From last you hour. You just did it one time.
I know. last hour, I said Johnny Lee Miller was Angelina Jolie's brother.
Yeah, turns and I was out, shocked at that.
Turns out, first husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I was dead wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Worst sorry, incest listening. Joke ever.
Yeah, all right.
That's creepy.
Yeah, so sorry about that, Johnny Lee Miller.
Still good on Elementary, though.
He's still good on Elementary.
Yeah.
Great. He was great on Dexter, Elementary. Yep. He is 40 years old today and not Angelina Jolie's brother. I'm terrible. Chad Kroeger from Nickelback is not dead, but unfortunately 38. Gemma Atkinson.
Gemma.
Yeah. 28. And I am Brad Williams.
Sorry, this is a delayed bell.
Oh, delayed.
Back to you.
All right. Brad Williams, follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and I pitter patter on the showbiz.
Don't forget the one piece of paper that you didn't hand me, that one. Thank you, Muggs. Don't forget the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon.
Yes.
But you have to be a K-Rock Street Team member to get the password. So go to krock.com, sign up to be a Street Team member. If it's something that you hate, let's say you hate being a Street Team member, you don't want email or whatever, sign up, buy the tickets, and sign back out.
That's true.
It's fine. You just but you do have to have the password to buy the tickets. Tomorrow at noon, both nights go on sale. You can find all the details at krock.com. All right, let's talk about Beer Mug. Let's talk about Twilight. Muggs, tell us where you were and who these people were you were interviewing.
I was in the LA Live complex on Saturday, this past Saturday, and everybody from old ladies to young ladies to guys were hanging out, camped out in the complex there before the Twilight movie premiere, which premiered on Monday.
With tents.
With tents.
Okay, yeah. So they had tents and they were camping for 3 days. And if I'm not mistaken, most of them did not have tickets to the movie or weren't going to get them.
Yeah. No.
They just wanted to see the red carpet.
Yeah, they wanted to see the stars and hang out and get autographs. And they on Saturday, they had Stephanie Meyer there doing a Q&A trivia mm-hmm. thing on stage. They had one of the musical artists from the movie perform. So they were doing a bunch of stuff down there on Saturday.
So we sent Muggs down there with a microphone to perform his magic, and he did. And this is Beer Mug with some of the fans of Twilight.
What is it about this movie that gets people to camp out in the middle of downtown Los Angeles for weeks on end?
All right, good research, first of all.
How long have they been there?
3 days.
Yeah, 3 days. Yeah.
Okay. Only allowed 3 days. Weeks on end.
How long have you been here?
3 days now.
That's all. How are you faring?
Pretty good.
How are you faring? Pretty good. That's the hard-hitting stuff that you get from Beer Mug. She's faring pretty good. Muggs does not ask short questions.
Mel.
Yes.
Are you camped out here at Tent City for the Twilight World premiere?
Yes.
No, I'm down here just so that I can see the next Laker game.
How do you work?
Yes.
How do you get off work is my most important question.
Because I'm the boss.
All right, now here's my favorite follow-up question ever. My favorite ever.
Okay.
Okay, so he says, how do you get off work? She says, I'm the boss. He immediately goes to...
How many other bosses do you think we have here that were able to get off work?
I have no idea.
That is the dumbest question
What do you think she's doing? Does she walk around to every person that's camping and go, do you own your own business? Do you own your own business? Do you own your own business?
I don't know. I don't know what else.
That's a crazy follow-up question.
All right. What is it about this film? Mug still wants to know.
Yes. What is it about the Twilight series, saga, franchise books that draws a person in so much that they would camp out here for days on end in their own stink and filth?
Now, here's what I like about this one. He's still not done any research because of her answer.
Okay, nobody's here in their stink and filth.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Hotel rooms that we shower and clean in.
Yes, no.
Yeah, well, first of all, I didn't know that. First
of
all.
Are they camping out, but they have a hotel room?
They have a hotel room that they can use to shower and stuff like that.
Oh.
That's not camping, by the way.
Well, it is if they're staying, if they're spending 23 hours a day in the tents out at Nokia.
Don't get me wrong. I prefer that. Proper shower and toilet is in order, okay?
I support the stinking filth, though. That was funny.
All right.
What is it about, though? What is it about it, though, that brings people out? Like, that gets so, like, you know, there's a lot of trilogies and books and movie franchises out there. But this seems to just have taken on a league all its own.
Okay.
A league, first of all. That one, I don't know what that is.
I think that one needs a second hearing because I'm not exactly sure I followed it. This one has taken on a league all its own.
Uh-huh.
Lisa, this is just...
That is the saying, right?
No.
What?
A life
no,
of its own?
A life of its own.
Okay.
It's not a league of its own. It's in a league of its own, maybe.
It's a league of our own.
A league of its own.
There's a movie, That's a league a movie, of our
yeah,
own.
A league. Yeah.
But it's a
you don't
a
say it has taken on a league of its own.
Yeah, okay,
that's just incorrect.
What is it about though? What is it about it though that brings people out? Like that gets so like you know. There's a lot of trilogies and books and movie franchises out there, but this seems to just have taken on a league all its own.
Okay, so there's that question, and that gets us into Beer Mug asks really long questions.
Yes,
Beer Mug asks really long questions.
My brain doesn't work fast. I don't know if you know that, Kevin.
I'm fully aware of that, yeah. Although that position on this show is taken by me.
I'm really surprised he didn't start to list all of the franchises and ask her.
No one is going to know any have any idea what you guys are talking about, but it's okay. This movie. So seriously, though, let me ask you guys. Edward, Bella, and Jacob.
Yes.
Edward, Bella, and Jacob.
Right.
Oh, you said that.
Right there on the poster.
Exactly.
So Bella, Edward's a vampire, Jacob's a werewolf, Bella's like sort of a vampire, right?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, what if they like kind of like added zombies up into the mix? Do you think a zombie would be cool in the movie?
That would have been bomb.
That would have been bomb. What about zombies? What about the only thing that's not in the movie?
Okay, well, I've learned a little something today.
Could they have thrown that in?
Might as well. That would be bomb.
What is it about this movie, Daphne, this book, this whole franchise? What is so special that makes people come out and just lose their minds about it? I listened to this, Daphne, before I let you answer the question, which
what
I should.
Question?
Okay. There's no question.
I'm lost now.
There's no question. He's not going to give her a chance to answer the no question because he's going to continue talking, even though he out loud acknowledges that perhaps he should give her a chance to talk.
But I brought up a sore subject amongst Twilight fans. You know what that is?
What?
No, yeah, she knows. She can guess out of the blue what the sore subject is.
I brought up the whole director of the Snow White and the Huntsman thing, and some girl literally visually got pissed and walked away.
Wow.
Yeah.
She literally was like, you shouldn't talk about that and this, that, and the next thing. And I was like, whoa, easy. I was like, I'm just asking. I'm just trying to get the hard-hitting evidence here.
Yeah.
She's trying to get the hard-hitting evidence
here.
She could not be more bored.
Was it this, that, and the other thing? Because that's bad.
Yeah.
For a woman who's camping for 3 days.
In her filth.
In her stinking filth, you'd think she would be fascinated to talk to somebody. She had no time for you. Like, yeah, really. Mm-hmm.
Right. Let me ask you, what is it about the characters? I know people are always talking about Team Edward, Team Jacob, Team Bella. What like, because I am,
no
I
Bella.
Like, I've seen a lot of movies, and I'm a fan of a lot of movies.
So here's your answer, Lisa.
Okay.
But I've never understood the whole hype about this. What is it? Please explain.
What is the hyper about this?
I said hype, first of all.
Did you say hype?
I did say
hype. Well, let's listen to it again.
I've seen a lot of movies, and I'm a fan of a lot of movies, but I've never understood the whole hype about this. What is it?
Hyper.
Please explain.
Well, I meant to say hype around, but then I cut around off and went to the... Mm-hmm.
Funny, you said hyper, is what you said.
But I've never understood the whole hype about this. What is it? Please explain.
Shut up, Kevin.
All I know, it's taken on a league of its own.
It has. That's true.
And now, it's funny. In real life, Edward loves Bella, but Bella just cheats on him with a director from Snow White and the Huntsman. You're walking away angry. Is that a sore subject amongst Twilight fans and Edward fans and Bella fans?
No, they love it. It's their favorite topic ever. They're down there camping to see the movie, and they really want to discuss the actual personal lives. They love it so much. But Beer Mug does follow this like a dog with a bone.
Yeah, I think it's crazy that. I'm not going to talk about it.
You're visually upset. You literally.
Yeah, because I think it's ridiculous that you're coming out here in the middle of this, in the middle of the movie premiere, yeah, and bringing that up. It's pretty crazy. This is about the movie. This is about the hard work that Kristen has put into this movie. She has been. Every director has talked about how she loves that character and loves being a part of this. And for people to come out here and just talk about her personal life, that, you know, it's ridiculous.
All right, now. I want to point something out, and this is the first time I've ever said this. Beer Mug is learning.
You see a learning curve here?
You will.
Okay.
He's done a 15-minute expose on the personal life of Kristen Stewart. He's made this girl angry by doing it. So what's the follow-up question? It has to be the same thing again. If you have any guts, you have to go right back to the personal life of Kristen Stewart because that's comedy. Listen to Beer Mug.
Okay, let's move on. I'm sorry. Let's move on. I apologize. Let's move on to the next question. The next question will be, there's a twist in the movie that's not in the book. I've heard that...
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know? Why not? I don't know if it's right. I'm just a guess. But I think...
Now, does it take him an hour and a half to get to it?
Sure. Yeah.
I forget what he's talking about.
It takes him a long time to get
Lisa.
To. He started with, what about the personal life of Chris Stewart,
right.
You know, cheating.
And she said, I don't want to talk about
that. I don't want to talk about it.
Now
so now his
twist.
Follow-up is, there's a twist at the end of the movie. I don't want to see it. Oh, but I want to tell you. I'm not sure it's right.
Okay.
He finally gets around to...
That the director from Snow White and the Huntsman will come out, and Robert Pattinson will just beat the crap out of him. What do you think?
Whatever.
Come on.
The setup was a little long, but I did
come
get...
Come on. Beer Mug got back to the actual comedy. He learned. He's taken one tiny step forward.
That's our mug.
I just need to hone my skills a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just, if you could hone them just a little less. Petros Papadakis. Good morning, Petros.
Good morning, Orale. What's popping with y'all?
How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm pretty good. You know, feeling all right. It's rivalry week.
Let's talk about that. USC,
say it
UCLA.
With me. Rivalry week.
Rivalry week. That's hard to say.
Can't say it.
Rivalry week.
Rivalry.
Now, it used to be when I was a young person that rivalry week was 1 week.
Right.
Now it's like spread out from like October 20th to the mid part of November or even December.
Really? It's that long?
I mean, there's just so many rivalries to be played. And here in L.A., we have two big ones, and USC's involved in both of them. USC-UCLA and USC-Notre Dame.
Right.
And it is an even year, which means USC will play Notre Dame and UCLA.
Both.
Back-to-back.
Ooh, wow.
Back-to-back. In odd years.
And who's the
USC
home team?
USC travels to October, Notre Dame, and then they play UCLA at the end of the year.
Who's the home team for this weekend? Is it UCLA?
UCLA is the home team for this weekend, and then Notre Dame will be in the Coliseum next weekend.
Well, that's tough. That's a tough couple of weeks.
It is it's a difficult gauntlet of anger and fear, but they are very different rivalries. UCLA is filled with righteous indignation and anger and vitriol and violence, really, to be honest with you.
Okay, why?
You're very close. The schools are miles apart.
Right.
You know a
That's
lot of these guys.
That's always been the case.
Yeah, and they come from the high schools that you came from, and,
right.
and you hate them. I mean, you hate their ass. You hate each other. I don't care anymore, obviously. I don't care about anything. I'm a nihilist.
Tell people about the year you played for UCLA, your most famous year.
I played at USC.
USC, I'm sorry.
No, that's
your most famous year.
Fight on.
It's not okay.
In 97, we lost.
Your most famous year. You said it was the worst. What was it?
Oh, that was we beat them in 2000. But it was the worst football team in USC history.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
We still beat UCLA. and that was in the year 2000. We beat them on a kick. We had a Latino kicker who never kicked a ball in his career. I mean, he kicked the kickoffs, but he never kicked a field goal.
Right.
And for some reason, we put him in to kick the winning field goal.
Was it a long ways? Is that why?
I don't remember. It was sort of long, I think. And his license plate, he was a Latino guy. It said L Kicker. David Bell. It was the year 2000, and he kicked it. And after he kicked it, he knew it was good, so he did kind of like a Vato walk.
Yeah.
Like back to the sideline, like, hey, look at me, hey. And we beat him. So that was huge.
As long as it goes through and he's not doing that walk, and then it hits the upright and comes back.
In 97, we weren't going to a bowl game, and it was our last game. We lost to UCLA. And our coach was going to get fired, John Robinson, at the time.
Right.
And I remember walking up the tunnel, taking off my gear, walking into a friend's car, driving to San Diego, and not coming back for 3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
And then I came back. I think I ended up in Mexico.
You were in Tijuana for a while, weren't you?
It was not a pretty scene. And I ended up back like in L.A. It was before I had a cell phone and all that stuff. I ended up back in L.A., and I remember being like, hey, Pete, you know our coach got fired. Excuse me? Coach, we have a new coach? Yeah, you didn't know? No, I was...
I've been in Tijuana for...
Yeah, I've been down at the Pharmacia.
What's it like? You've often mentioned that in college football, there's a lot more mistakes than there are in pro football.
Yeah, there's the play is not as sharp.
Right.
It's very sharp, and you have very fast and good athletes, but it's not as sharp as the NFL, which is sharp as a razor.
Right. But what is it like for the handling of the pressure, the handling of this week of hype and all that? You know, like, when you walk out on the field, are you super aware of it, or does it just go into the background and you just go, another game?
You get riled up.
You do.
You know? Well, at least I used to. You know, I mean, these were huge games growing up for me. I was on the sideline to games.
Regardless of your record or whatever.
Yeah, it's just you get riled.
It's your opponent.
I mean, you know, the place is full. People are angry. There's a lot of bragging rights involved, and it means something. Now, coaches handle it differently. You know,
right.
Some coaches will bring in, well, not O.J. Simpson, but, you know, guys from the past.
Someone goes.
Marcus Allen and people like that, Ronnie Lott, you know, to talk about the rivalry, or UCLA, Maurice Jones-Drew, and people of that nature and ilk.
Right.
And that might get you riled up. Some coaches like to treat it like it's just another game and try to ignore all the outside stuff. Some teams have traditions that you just can't avoid, like they have pep rallies and dinners and lunches.
Did you like that stuff, hate that stuff as a player?
You know, it's at the end of the year, so you get all just freaked out. I mean,
what does that mean, freaked out? Good,
it's just an emotional roller coaster.
Okay.
So you try to handle your emotions, and when you go out, you still have to execute the game plan. You know, I mean, you're still looking through a face mask and still trying to fight it out. But
how long?
There's a lot of talking in the UCLA-USC game. There's a lot of talking.
There is.
Yeah, through a mouthpiece.
Across the line, yeah.
Yeah, well, not just across the line in piles and, you know, and the captains and all that. But it sounds, everybody has a mouthpiece in. They're saying awful things, but it sounds more like,
you can't understand it. Take out your mouthpiece and say that.
I did. If I really had to say something bad about somebody's mom or somebody's girlfriend, I'll never forget UCLA. I won't say the names.
Well,
why not? I don't care. Brandon Ibadejo. He was dating a girl at USC that we all knew. And
right.
She may or may not have had a couple other boyfriends.
Right.
And she had bragged to us that he had paid her parking ticket.
Right.
So in 98, this was a big, swole dude, too. He had tackled me, and he's face-to-face, and he's spitting on me. He's right on top of me, and he said, you know, you play hard, Papadakis, but you talk too much in the media. I said, oh, I do? Because everybody out here, about three of these dudes, have been with your girl.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't quite say it like that.
Of course.
And I might have said something
like, you cleaned
like,
it up.
And we know you're paying the parking tickets. And and then they took me out of the game, you know, just normal rotation.
Right.
And he, like, went on to sack our quarterback, like, four times in a row.
Oh, you
like,
gave him all kinds of...
Just screaming, like, a primal scream on the 50, like, ah!
And your coach say, what did you say to him?
I was standing next to him. I was like, oh, I was kind of ignoring. Well, that guy's playing pretty good.
Oops.
What have I got into him?
Right.
It is a fun game. There's no question about it.
Petros Papadakis is here. We need to take a break. We will come back with more about USC and UCLA and other sports. Petros Papadakis is in the studio with us. We're talking USC, UCLA. I wanted to ask you one more question about those giant piles that happen in football. Because I've always had questions about this. I know people talk a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of smack talk.
There is, but most of it is just grunting.
Okay. But I wondered if there
Nail
was...
Nail grunting and pushing and pulling and grinding.
I wondered if there was any... And you see this in the pros more than you do in college when they're fighting for a fumble.
Groping.
And there's a huge pile and they're fighting for a fumble. And you know underneath, like... You think people's fingers are getting bent and...
As you may or may not remember.
Punched in the balls. I mean, that stuff has to happen, right?
Kevin, I was a running back.
Right, yeah, I know.
And which means you're a ball. carrier.
Right.
And there is a lot of ball punching and there's some testicle raking.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. But the worst thing that ever happened to me was we played against San Diego State, and I'll never forget the guy's name. He was a middle linebacker. His name was Joey Mayo.
Okay.
Joey Mayo.
Yo.
Oh, I'll never forget his name. Must mean this is good.
And we were running the clock out in the game, and that was kind of my job because I was good ball security. I held onto the ball with both hands and would not let it go.
Get 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah, yeah. You know, keep my head down. Don't give the ball to the ref until he asks for it. Stay on the ground kind of thing.
Sure.
It's called the 4-minute drill. You know, the 2-minute drill is to go fast and score. Right. The 4-minute drill is to run out
slow
the clock.
It down. Right.
So this guy didn't punch my balls, which would have been acceptable because it's
you're normal. Used to that.
Or rake at my eyeballs or Three Stooges my eyes or anything like that. He cupped my...
Mm-hmm. Your junk?
Mm-hmm. And then was
what do you
like
mean cupped?
Like cupped it with his hand.
But not punch, not
no,
hurt,
no.
Not
cupped
twist.
It and kind of, you know, kinda
gently?
Gently kind of.
What?
Oh, that would wig you out so much more.
I freak out. I still held the rock, but I started screaming.
Still
at
the
ref.
The football.
I was screaming. You know, obviously the ref's like, he did what?
That sounds sexy.
It wasn't.
It worked, though.
Because he had a weird look on his
that
face,
that worked
too.
Better than punching.
Well, look.
A lot of guys would have dropped that ball.
The Aztecs still lost that game. And worse
that
than that...
That linebacker didn't drop the ball, though.
Worse than that... No, he had them both. Worse than that, I went into the locker room at the Coliseum and realized in that game I had forever lost the left tip of my left nipple. So...
Now, how does that happen?
Wait, that not male-related.
Do you remember that happening?
Guy. No.
You don't remember. Did it hurt?
Nah,
show
no.
Lisa.
Afterwards.
Show Lisa.
Oh, okay.
She's got one nipple and one kind of...
got the normal nipple here on the right side, as you see, Lisa.
And then one where they're supposed to be.
It just looks inverted,
it's not inverted. It's gone.
It's just gone.
It's gone. It's somewhere on the Coliseum
floor. Somebody just
floor.
Gave you a twister, maybe.
I don't think it was that. I think the shoulder pad sliced it off.
So when
SC Notre Dame takes on... that rivalry next week.
Right.
My nipple is somewhere out there.
Okay. It's like someplace.
I'm like Fievel from somewhere out there.
All right, give us a prediction because I know
an
that
American
there,
tale?
There are a lot there's a lot writing on this particular game, USC-UCLA.
SC-UCLA is for the Pac-12 South Championship, which is for the right to play most likely an Oregon football team in Eugene, which is a game we're doing on Fox. I'm on that broadcast.
Most likely the winner of USC-UCLA will be in that game?
Yeah, two weeks from Saturday, and that would be the Pac-12 championship at Autzen Stadium in Eugene. So this is basically for the right to play in that football game, which is huge because the Rose Bowl is still everybody's goal, or at least winning the conference, right, wherever that takes you, is still everybody's goal in the Pac-12. And as disappointing as SC has been this year, and they were not overrated, they have underachieved
right. This
season, they could still salvage a lot winning these last two games and perhaps save their coach's job. Lane Kiffin, a lot of chatter around town about his job.
Sure.
And as far as UCLA goes...
Mike Brown is available.
Mike Brown. As far as UCLA goes, they're surging with their new coach, Jim Mora, and they're playing the best football and the most relevant football they've played in like a decade. So this is a very intriguing
game. Is it all
game.
About momentum in this? I mean,
you know, it's tough. USC is going to be the more talented football
they
team.
They are.
But USC is a more talented football team than Oregon, and that hasn't helped them most of the time over the last 4 years. So,
right.
So this is not something that is undoable for UCLA. UCLA has a young quarterback that we could be talking about for the Heisman Trophy in a couple of years, and they have a lot of very motivated players. I mean, they're going to dip their heads in kerosene and light them on fire and run out that tunnel.
I hope that happens.
And,
that would be cool.
They are.
I like fire.
Yeah. That's like a blue man thing. They are very grateful, I think, for their new coach because he kind of rescued a lot of these guys.
Okay.
And at USC, there's some negative feelings. And you can splinter when things start to go wrong, especially on the road. So I picked UCLA to win this game.
You did, wow.
And I...
You take a lot of heat from USC?
Oh, yeah. A lot on Twitter and all that.
Sure.
But, you know, the thing is well, I would have picked USC the last 10 years. The last three games of this series I've done on TV, so I haven't been able to pick the game.
Right.
So this year I kind of got caught. And they said, you know, who do you think's going to win? I said UCLA, and now, you know, Traitor Tros.
Sure.
Hashtag Benedict Arnold Tros. Judas Iscariot Tros. But I'm taking my 30 pieces of silver to Morgantown, West Virginia for the Oklahoma-West Virginia game.
Oh, that's the one you're doing?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to buy some chicken wings out there.
Well, Pete, we're going to have to save your Laker hate till another day.
Oh, I love the Lakers. What are you talking about?
Please.
Lakers are awesome. How come they had a guy, first of all, that looked like Colonel Sanders and Phil Jackson? Then, you know, look, Mike Brown does look a bit like Mr. Potato Head.
Okay.
And then the Pringles guy?
That's the Pringles guy?
What? D'Antoni?
Mike D'Antoni?
Check him out. Look at the Pringles guy. Right. I know Matt usually does the lookalikes, but look at the Pringles guy. Look at D'Antoni.
All right.
And then you tell me.
We were talking during the commercials. We're not going to have time here, but Petros hopes the Lakers lose every single game and they all break their ankles.
I never said that.
I'm sure you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I would make that up about a team I love.
That is a bold-faced lie.
I will just end with telling you this, though. My mom's a big fan of Steve Nash. She will not watch the Lakers because she hates the Lakers so much. She will not watch even with Steve Nash.
Really?
Now we get the coach that used to coach Steve Nash while he was in Phoenix.
Right.
They're trying to kill my mother. They're trying to kill her.
How's she doing?
I don't know. She's coming to town, and I'm not going to bring it up.
Smart.
I don't want her to drop over. Petros, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. You think UCLA is going to win. You hope UCLA wins is what I heard in your voice.
No, that's not. I don't care who wins.
Body language.
Yeah,
right?
I don't care who wins.
Big smile on his face.
No.
You don't care.
I really don't. Mm-hmm. Why would I care?
Because you played for USC.
I'm going to Morgantown, West Virginia.
I heard you.
Do you know how much I care? All I care about is getting out of there without wearing a cotton dress.
You, sir, are a liar.
Okay?
A, you're a liar, and B, you will wear a cotton dress. That'll happen.
If it was a quinceañera for me, I would.
Petros, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Adios.
Bye.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:53. Coming up, we have Dr. Drew on the program. We're going to talk to Bean from the hospital.
All right.
Yeah. Who doesn't sound like his normal chipper self, hard to believe?
I'm feeling a little wet. And we have missing a buddy part.
We have your tickets for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show as well. Brad Williams is filling in for Ralph today. Who's got the day off? What's going on, Brad?
Well, what's going on is, in addition to showbiz news, if you want to hear me do some stand-up comedy, come on out and do the Irvine Improv this Sunday, November 18th. I'll be headlining there. And then Friday...
If I could just butt in.
Sure.
We've seen Brad.
Yes.
Well worth the money, whatever
yes,
it costs.
Yes, thank you, sir. Lisa, how's your lap?
My lap is still on fire.
Yeah. Wait, on fire?
Yeah. Let's not say anything more about that.
I'm getting some drugs next week.
Do I need shots? What do I need to do? So Sunday, November 18th, I'll be at the Irvine Improv. And then Friday, November 23rd, the day after Thanksgiving, I will be at the Ontario Improv doing not one, but two shows for you on that day. But I'm here to do showbiz news, so let's get right to it. Selena Gomez apparently just wasn't that into Justin Bieber.
Now, you know why? Because Justin Bieber is way into Justin Bieber. For he's enough for both of them.
He covered it.
Oh, man.
Perez Hilton is actually reporting that Bieber, and if this is true, this is sort of a bombshell, Perez Hilton is reporting that Bieber proposed twice. Not once!
That's so much better!
Twice! And Selena turned him down!
Smart girl.
I hope that's true.
Oh, man, I hope it is too.
Douchebag, and you know he did it in a huge, monster way in front of as many people as possible.
I'm surprised he didn't do it at a concert.
Yep.
I would have.
You may have.
Oh, my gosh. Someone has video. I hope so.
Fail! Epic fail.
Selena apparently turned him down because gay marriage isn't legalized in California
yet.
So lesbians cannot marry.
How do you do it?
So I guess I'll have to go to like Colorado or something. maybe that might work. Moving on. Sad news for rocker Bon Jovi. His 19-year-old daughter, I don't know if you guys heard about this, his daughter suffered a heroin overdose in her college dorm room.
Oh.
She's okay.
Good.
She's in the hospital. Very lucky to be alive. But now the unfortunate thing is now that she's actually in possession charges. She faces possession charges.
Really?
On top of that.
So, yeah, she's in the hospital. Cops have not gotten to her yet, so you could say she's wanted, dead or alive.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
Put that in the file.
What?
Oh, you heard me. Shame on you.
Shame on you is right.
All I'm saying is she thought she was gonna
let him do it. He's gonna do another one.
She thought she was gonna get away with it. I think she was just living on a prayer.
Oh. Told you. You were right. I'm sorry.
Heroin overdose. She got a hold of some bad medicine.
Oh man.
I'm not saying another word. until he stops.
I don't think he's capable. As long as he's got that list in front of him.
I don't know. Bon Jovi wanted to intervene, but she said, hey, it's my life. That's all I'm going to say.
I hope that's all I'm going to say. If I play that, will you move on?
I don't know. Figure that out. Let's get to even more depressing.
How are you laughing this hard over that story?
Because they're so
that's
bad.
The most sad story that we've ever told.
I know. It's bad. I got a case of the Anderson Coopers right here. This is terrible. All right, moving on. I'm trying to get all my laughter in because it's the end of the world. It is the end of the world right now.
How do you know that?
Because Michael Lohan has another child.
How are we just now finding out about this?
Well, apparently, the baby mama said that this, you know, the girl is 17.
17
years
old.
The daughter is 17. 17.
Okay.
And the baby mama was saying that he was the dad forever, which I don't know why.
Oh, she's been claiming that Michael Lohan?
Okay. Yes, and wanting child support and everything that goes along with that.
Allegedly, he just wanted to date her.
Yeah, and he denial. And then, but then she said the magic words to get Michael to agree to the paternity test. She said, let's do it on television. And Michael Lohan just jumped at a chance of that.
He is an attention whore, but when you stop and think that he's going to really do a paternity test for real on TV, who would he do it on, Maury? Maury Povich?
There's Ricky Lake? There's a special on NBC tonight.
A news special?
Yeah.
What? So, right. This is not news.
Our news is sinking down
this
to the level of...
Right.
Embarrassing.
There's nothing going on.
Jerry Springer.
Come on. Benghazi,
that's just handled.
Love it.
There's nothing going on. The whole Petraeus thing, we've all moved past that apparently.
Good job, NBC.
And now we're on to Michael Lohan having kids.
Oh. That's just not good.
No, it's terrible. The daughter being 17, though, that means that he had this child, he would be cheating on Dina because two of his kids with Dina were born in 93 and 96, and the 17-year-old daughter was born in 95.
Ah.
So Michael Lohan, just all sorts of bad decisions.
I can't see him cheating.
Does he ever make a bad decision without humiliating the rest of his family along with it?
No, that seems to be a part of it.
That seems to be like, well, I could just shoulder this burden, put it all on me, but nah.
It has to negatively affect everyone he knows.
Everyone.
Yeah.
So you can tune into that special tonight. Ugh. Blow up your TV.
Any more Bon Jovi jokes?
I'm thinking about it right now. Thinking about it. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, everyone. Beverly D'Angelo, star of Entourage, the vacation movie. She's 61 today. Johnny Lee Miller, who is excellent on Elementary, first husband of Angelina Jolie. He is 40 years old today. Chad Kroeger of Nickelback is 38. Gemma, I've gotten this wrong 3 times. Is that right, Gemma?
Gemma.
It's Gemma.
All right.
I
think Gemma from the TV show
Gems.
Yeah. Gemma Atkinson is 28 years old, a good-looking 28. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad, and I pitter patter on the show.
Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. is the deadline for Miss Double December. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So if you want to be Miss Double December 2013, which includes going to every single one of our concerts, you can go to both nights of the 23rd annual Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's your first prize that you get is this year's Acoustic Christmas. And then, you get to go to April Foolishness, you get to go to the Weenie Roast, you get to go to singles parties and everything else that we do next year. You get to be our spokesmodel. If you have what it takes, you're 21 or over, complete your submission at krock.com and send 2 photos of yourself, preferably shots other than headshots. As
nice melons.
We're looking for, it is called Miss Double December, for God's sakes. We always have to
in the title, for
God's
sakes.
We always have to say that. So you only have about 26 hours to get that in. So make sure that you do that. Miss Double December crowning will be Friday, November 30th at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. On Monday, we're going to give you the top 10.
Okay.
So make sure and get those in. Let's talk about stupid ways you hurt yourself, as I'm a prime example, and I do this all the time. Although I was talking to Petros a minute ago, and we asked him if he had any stupid ways he hurt himself, and he said he rolled his head up in the window.
Which I still can't figure out.
Said he was trying to park.
Yeah, so he had his head out the window.
So that he could see the lines.
Uh-huh.
So he had his head out the window, but for some reason, at the same time, he hit the button to roll up the window, and he closed the window on his head.
That would freak me out.
Yeah. Well, I was going to a movie recently. It was the Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out of my car, and I valeted it because I was late, and I needed to get up there right away. So I get out, I walk, there's an escalator that takes you up, I don't know, 15, 20 stairs maybe, takes you up, and then you have to take another escalator. And the first escalator I took all the way to the top, and then I realized I forgot my wallet.
Oh, God.
And I looked down and I hadn't taken my car yet. So I immediately did what everyone would have done, and I turned around and ran down the up escalator.
How did that go?
So it's coming up, and I'm running down. It went fine.
Did it?
I took it like a champ. I was like, no problem, until the final step. Right where the ground is not moving, but the escalator is, that step right there, I took that one a little too fast and just face planted. And I twisted my ankle. I twisted my ankle bad enough that I had to limp up to the movie. And now I've had it wrapped for about since Saturday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well done, Kevin.
First thought.
No, I would not have run down the up elevator.
And here's the thing that's bizarre to me. There's another escalator, right next to it going down.
Yes.
Going the direction I wanted to go.
Absolutely.
Never occurred to me. I just thought,
one step over.
Right. One step over. I could have just, I could have double-timed it down. I could have actually gone down faster. But instead, I just turned and ran down the up escalator.
I would have paid to see that.
Full speed. And I looked great. I was in shape and I was moving. And then, boom! And the first thing I did was like look around to see who saw. Did anyone see? No one did. Get up. Act like nothing happened. Oh, my ankle hurts. So that was just idiotic.
The only thing that would have made that better is if you were so hurt you couldn't make the movie. That would have made a better story.
I would have had to be pretty hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, you twist your ankle, so what? Can you pretty much? And I was
just limp up there.
I was limping so bad, and I was limping here. I don't know, like Tuesday or something, and nobody noticed at all.
I didn't know.
I could barely walk on Tuesday. I thought I was going to die.
You're like that all the time.
I didn't really want to tell anybody that because it's a stupid story. But if I'm going to take phone calls from people who hurt themselves in stupid ways, then I got to tell the story.
Right.
We're going to start the phone calls with Hugo. Hi, Hugo.
How you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you. We're talking about stupid ways you hurt yourself. The phone number is 1-800-520-1067. It can't be a normal way where you are doing something, you know, you're playing a sport and you get
right.
hurt. It has to be you were an idiot. Hugo, you were an idiot. What happened?
I was the biggest idiot. Me and my brother were messing around, and he ran out the house, and I took chase. He closed the gate in front of me, and I was just moving too damn fast, and bam, took the gate right in the chest and broke my ribs.
Oh, you broke ribs. Dude.
I was in pain for 4 weeks.
I hope you made your brother pay back somehow.
No, I did.
His brother's not to blame. Hugo's to blame. His brother's trying to get away. Of course he's going to close the gate.
Yeah, it sucks.
That makes perfect sense.
Love you, Lisa May.
Thank you, Hugo.
Thank you for the call, Hugo. I got to tell you, I sure wish there was video of these. I wish there was video of mine so you could see, you know,
this
the look
America's
on my face.
This is America's funniest home video.
It really is. And see Hugo run into the fence and fall over. All right, 1-800-520-1067. We got a lot of people calling. We'll talk to them when we come back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't forget tickets for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th. You can win tickets at 9:10 or thereabouts, within 10 minutes of that. 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. I think everybody else tries to run on time. You can win tickets to both nights. So keep listening. That is 9:10 this morning on the world famous K-Rock. We are talking about stupid ways you hurt yourself. I tried to run down an up escalator and fell and twisted my ankle, and it was embarrassing. And Andrew has a story for us as well. Hi, Andrew.
How's it going, party people? Fire beer mug.
I like starting with fire beer mug. Good work. All right, what happened?
So I was in Vegas. I was with some buddies, my girlfriend. We were having a good time while early morning walking down the strip. My buddy trips over just a small little crack on the sidewalk while I start making fun of him. Man, come on now. You're an idiot, pretty much. And turn around and boom, hit a street sign.
Oh, hit a street sign. With your face?
Face first. hit it so hard it split my eyebrow and gave me a pretty good bump on my forehead.
Oh, my God. That's not good.
No, it wasn't fun for about a couple hours.
That it was fun for everyone else, I bet.
And to add insult to injury, there's an explorer, a white explorer, I'll never forget, full of girls that stopped, pointed, and laughed.
That's the worst. Yeah, that was the first thing I did when I fell, is look around to see who saw.
Always do.
That's always important.
I didn't have to. I heard their laugh loud and clear.
Sure.
And everybody else down there was too.
Yeah, they honk. They let you know. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it. When I was a kid, I wiped out on a bicycle, and the car that was next to me in the lane said, "Do that again. I missed it." So mocking people is a way.
People are so helpful.
From Twitter, Rhiannon writes, and this is bizarre, "Hurt myself trying to upper deck some toilet while I was drunk."
What does that mean, upper deck?
Look it up.
Okay.
Look it up. Upper decking the toilet is super funny. But the guy was drunk and he fell off the toilet face first into the wall and broke his nose.
All right.
So he had it coming to him. Let's go to Chase. Hi, Chase.
Hey, Kevin. What's up, Lisa May?
Hi there.
What's happening? You hurt yourself in a stupid way.
Yeah, I was at my buddy's house. We were messing around, running around his house. And I ran around the corner and the door was open. I went forehead first and knocked myself out and fractured my skull.
Oh, that's nice. Serious. Wow, yeah, fractured your skull.
Let's just say you shouldn't open doors when you're running around.
Yeah, agreed. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Justine or Justin? Justine?
Justine.
Yes.
Hi there.
What happened?
Hi. So I was walking around with my laptop around the house, and I felt the sneeze coming, sneezed right into the top of the screen, and gave myself a fat lip.
What do you mean you actually hit your head on your laptop?
It's a MacBook. They're very sharp.
Of course. Of course.
Okay, that's the kind of stuff I like.
Did anyone see?
No, I was in my house totally alone, but I'm not ashamed. I told all my friends. Everybody loved the story.
Sure. Yeah. That's the good of hurting yourself in a stupid way is you can make people laugh like us. Thank you, Justine, for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. I always know that this phone topic, we could probably do this phone topic every single day with as many times as our listeners have hurt themselves in stupid ways.
And none of these people are drunk.
Have you noticed? I haven't asked.
No. But mostly I think they're younger when this happened, but no, they're not drunk.
Tammy, first of all, were you drunk?
I was not drunk.
Okay. All right. What happened?
I was cleaning my dorm room, and the windows in my dorm room go face into the room, and they're metal. So I picked up some trash from the floor, got back up, and hit my head on the corner of the window.
Yeah.
Gushing blood.
Oh, no.
Had to go to the ER. I got stitches on my head.
Did you make up a better story about how you hurt yourself?
No.
I got attacked right outside the hospital is the weirdest thing.
That will teach you to clean, Tammy.
The worst part was I couldn't wash my hair for a week. It was awful.
Okay, that would be devastating.
That would be. That would be nasty, to be honest, Tammy.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. From Facebook, Jason says he burned his lips on a bong. He burned his lips.
Of course he did.
On a bong. And I would be willing to bet money that didn't stop him.
No, I'm sure you're right.
Shane, good morning. Hello, Shane.
Hi, Shane.
Shane. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, good. What happened?
I was out in Iraq searching a house, and I used a knife to pry open a cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And I set the knife on top of the cabinet, and I turned my head to look at something. I knocked off the knife with my night vision, and it landed in my leg.
Oh my God. It stabbed you in the leg?
It landed literally in my leg, and it was just sticking out of my leg, and it fell out. And I came, turning around the corner. Everybody thought I got stabbed.
Right.
I run in, guns blazing, and I was like, no, it was me.
Oh, Shane, you're so dumb. You could have got a Purple Heart and everything.
Well, that's what they told me. They were like, yeah, I was going to put you in for a Purple Heart. I'm like, no, dude, do not do that, please.
I am an idiot.
I always wondered what a soldier would do if something like that happened, because it's one thing to tell your friends you're an idiot. It's another thing to tell your fellow soldiers who you're supposed to have their back that you just stabbed yourself in the leg.
Yeah.
Well, you're a good man, Shane, on many levels. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Molly. Molly has a story. Hey, Molly.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi.
What did you do? How did you hurt yourself in a stupid way?
I was in the eighth grade at recess. I went to kick a volleyball because I was mad. I fell, broke my ankle in three different spots, and they had to have surgery. Had to have a screw put in my ankle.
Now, wait a minute. Was there a kickball game, or you just saw a kickball and you were angry?
We were going to line to all go in, and I was kicking a volleyball on the way to line, and one of my girlfriends took it from me that was really good at soccer. So when I got it back, I was mad, and to show that I was good too, I was going to kick it really hard.
Right.
That I ended up making a fool of myself in front of the entire school.
Fantastic.
That's brilliant.
Congratulations. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Emily. We haven't had you've injured yourself at a theme park yet.
No.
Hi, Emily.
Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
What did you do?
Well, I was exiting the ride for Space Mountain at Disneyland, mm-hmm. and I tripped over my crossbody purse, and I fell into the strap, causing me to fall out of the ride and chairline fracture my leg.
Oh, my God. Wait, and this is before the ride even started. This isn't during the ride.
No, this is after the ride.
After getting out.
So I was in front of everyone who was waiting in line for getting on the ride.
Oh, that's so humiliating.
At least there's never a line for Space Mountain, so you got that going for you.
Yeah, sure. My friends who were with me just pointed and laughed. They didn't even help me out. I don't know where my purse went. It just flung across the room.
Yeah.
It, like, slingshotted from me. I was like, where's my bag? I went to the bathroom. My leg was all bloody and bruised.
Sweet.
And, you know, the next day I went to the doctor, and they're all, hairline fracture. I'm like, oh, joy.
Nicely done. Thank you for the call. And finally, I'm not sure I want to talk to Jackie, but let's do it anyway.
Carefully.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Hey. What's going on?
How is it possible that you have the worst story after the ones we've already heard?
You know, if you ask my friends, they're not surprised.
What is it that happened to you? First, were you drinking?
No, it was early in the morning. I just had to take my shower, and I knew I had a hot date that night. And this was a couple years ago.
All right, mm-hmm. From now on, when somebody asks you if you were drinking, you say yes.
Yeah, I probably should.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was shaving, you know, grooming, you know, you got
girl grooming.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so the phone rang. And so I was trying to hurry and the razor slipped.
Oh.
And I managed to cut my button.
No, you didn't.
Yes. And not only like a nick, it was like a serious almost cut it off.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I had to call my work and tell them, look, I'm going to be late. I have an emergency.
What's your emergency, Jackie? What is it? What is it your work said?
I just told them I slipped in the shower and I cut myself really bad, and I have to go to the emergency room.
Did you go to the emergency room?
Of course. It was bleeding like crazy. I mean, it was bad.
Did you take your body part with you so that they could put it back on?
It was still a little attached.
Oh, man.
There's Jackie in the emergency room saying through the window, well, you see.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you through the bulletproof window. What did you do?
Six stitches, and, you know, they were like, there might be nerve damage. And, you know, you don't want to hear that as a female.
No. Of course not.
Everything's good. It's perfect.
So today, everything's good. You're so lucky.
And there's a scar, which is just funny, and I like to tell, you know, like, my husband's like, how'd you get that scar? So I tell him, and I've never done it since.
I sort of have a boner.
Really?
Is that bad?
Really? God, you're sick.
Is that bad?
So at the time, the guy that I was going on a date with, like, I wouldn't, you know, I couldn't let him, like, do anything down there, and he started getting suspicious, like, what's up? You know, is this girl
right.
Some kind of TV or something.
What is she hiding down there?
Yes, and so I finally had to tell him and show him. I wanted to date him, so he's like, oh, damn. So he was patient, and, you know, it all worked out well.
All right, Jackie, you're the best. Who could have seen that coming? Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Bye now. That's why I didn't want to tell you.
Okay, now I know what upper decking is.
That's why I didn't want to tell you. Right. Upper decking, also known as top shelving.
Wrong with you people.
I'm just saying. That's why.
God
there's
almighty.
A reason why I didn't want to explain it to you. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 20 minutes till 9 o'clock and time to talk to our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky. Good morning, Dr. Drew.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Drew, of course, Love Line here Sunday through Thursday from 10 to midnight. Dr. Drew is on HLN at 9 p.m. or 6 p.m., depending on your time, and Rehab airs Sundays at 8 o'clock on BH1. Dr. Drew, Bean had his kidney taken out 2 days ago.
Yes, I know. I told you last week when I was talking to you guys, the selflessness of that act. Is he still feeling as good about it now that he's having surgical pain?
I don't know how he feels.
We haven't talked to him yet.
We're going to talk to him just after 9 this morning. I don't expect him to sound very well because I'm sure he's in a lot of pain.
Maybe the real motivation is starting to emerge, which he's an opiate abuser and just wanted the surgery so he could justify using opiates.
Yeah, I don't think that's Bean either.
No.
Bean won't take aspirin.
God.
I'm like, Bean, God's sake.
Recovery's going to be tough.
Take aspirin.
I won't take Tylenol to take my kidney out. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, he may for his kidney. I'm sure they have him on morphine or something like that. But what's the recovery time for something like that? Bean is not a good judge of...
You know, for sure he's going to wait up for a couple of weeks. And sometimes these kind of things can last 6 weeks or so, depending on the individual. But, you know, with laparoscopic techniques, which I'm sure it's what he had done.
That is what they did, yeah.
Yeah, people can recover very quickly sometimes. Very quickly.
Well, he's trying desperately to make it for Miss Double December, although if his wife is listening, that's not the case.
I see. Well, at least he's got something motivating him.
Right.
That's good.
He does, yeah.
I'm sure you guys set it up that way. That's the big carrot, as it were.
Well, we didn't actually set it up that way, but it did turn out that way. So we announced the top 10 on Monday, and then we have Thanksgiving, and then he's hoping to be back that next week. Is
it's
that
impossible. It's not impossible. I mean, again,
that's what I thought.
Yeah, but he will see. It's Bean after all, so who knows?
He's a guy who will work, though, almost dead.
Yeah.
He makes the rest of us feel really crappy when we call in sick because...
True.
Let's be fair. He does it from his home.
Agreed.
So he can just roll. He'll probably do it from... He'll figure out a way to do it from bed.
Agreed.
Yeah, so...
Now, I've been catching up on rehab.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
You know, Sunday nights for me, and I just want to defend myself for 1 second. Sunday nights for me are the best night of the week.
Yes.
What's that?
Boardwalk Empire.
Boardwalk Empire.
Yep.
Homeland.
Yep.
Dexter.
Yep.
And Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
We have a tough night. Yeah.
So I started video on demanding it so that I could get it.
Thank you.
And watch it later. It occurred to me when I was watching one of your sessions with I think his name is Drewby.
Yeah.
Who wanted to leave?
Yes.
This must happen every single time you have a group in rehab. Somebody wants to leave?
Yeah, it'd be that people want to leave or we kick people out. But always, you know, there's a very characteristic feeling that people get when they're coming off opiates, which is, I got to get out of here. And part of that is withdrawal, and part of that is they don't even realize it at the time, but it's their brain saying, you got to use.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, and they'll blame it on, you were saying in the show, they would blame it on, and he was blaming it on the cameras.
Well, and in his case, it was even worse. It was more of a psychiatric or even neurological process. You know, Bob Forrest has a little boy, he's about a year old, and he called me that day and he goes, what is with him? He grabs his backpack and runs out the door every day and says, I want to go, I'm going home.
Right.
And he just starts running out the door and he starts running down the street. And I said, Bob, remember when we were trying to stop Drewby from running out of the hospital? He was in the same condition as your one-year-old.
Wow.
You can't let somebody who's not, brain isn't working right and has no plan, you know, an adult says, I'm going here, I'm going to feed myself this way, or I'm just going to go do drugs, whatever it is.
Right.
You let him go. But when they say, I'm just going, and they run out into a horrible neighborhood, there's a problem. There's something else going on.
And you ran out after him and stopped him and said, if you leave, I'm going to have to discharge you.
We have to stop you. We know we discharge you, and I may have to do something more drastic because there's nowhere to go. He's going to the streets without a plan in an impaired condition.
Right. What do you mean by more drastic?
Like a 72-hour hold.
You can do that?
We did that. We did that with him. Because he was so impaired. He couldn't even understand the questions. We would say, like, look, you're going to a neighborhood, a crime-ridden neighborhood. What are you going to do? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Right.
That's not, your brain isn't working right. It's like a little kid running out into traffic. And you would stop that every time.
Yeah.
And yet people don't understand. And of course, when we got him to the hospital, he was having terrible symptoms. He needed a lot of medication. When he cleared up, he was fine.
Have you ever had the opposite when... A lot of users are more easygoing or whatever. It seems like I've watched enough of your rehab shows to know that there are also the occasional person who is less of an a-hole when they're on drugs, and then when they get clean, you really don't like them.
Yes, that definitely happens, and then you start to understand why families let them keep using. And it's really sad, but sometimes the patient off drugs, is particularly early off drugs or not in recovery, is so... vituperous, so awful that the family kind of helps keep them loaded because they're just easier to deal with. Mm. It's an awful thing.
Hang on,
that does happen a lot.
Look up vituperous.
Vituperous, awful.
Whatever that word is. I also noticed something that I'm fascinated with body language. I love that. And it seems like you use it a lot because you'll be sitting there talking to the group, and in Drewby's case or somebody else, you'll just notice whether it's their arms are crossed or they're rocking back and forth or something, and you'll be able to – are you really good at body language? Because you seem to be.
It's not even body language. I'm picking up something. Something is just – like literally I feel it coming from some side of the room. It'll just direct my attention over there. And, yeah, if I see something overt, like their legs and arms are crossed and everybody else is actively engaged in treatment and they're sitting back in their chair – I know I got to get them in somehow. I got to get them to open up and let's get going. Okay, you're closed off for some reason. It's usually much more subtle than that, though. It's usually I just get a feeling like something's not right over here. So I'll just direct my attention and just look at them. And
you get a feeling that something's not right.
Yeah, it's just strange. It's like being a giant. It's weird.
Are you crazy?
Not crazy. Just like being a giant antenna. It's a weird thing when you're doing group set. You have to actually be like absorbing the whole what's going on all the time with everybody throughout the room.
Including, you know, whoever's talking is one thing, but then everybody else, the way they're reacting to it.
Exactly. And it, you know, groups are an interesting thing. It's an energy that moves through a room, and you've got to keep it going in a certain direction and keep it going therapeutic, not going negative. And at this group, they would get so aggressive with one another. I'd have to actually stand up and get between them many times. It was very difficult.
Well, it's certainly much more of an art than most people would think.
Yes, that's right. There's a lot of using of your right brain, which it's just that holistic sort of emotional. There's so much communication that goes on. I'm boring your audience. I'm doing it. I hear radio dials snapping
Listen,
off throughout the city.
If Kevin's not bored, then they're not bored because he's the easiest.
How dare you?
Guy to bore in the
You're right. He hasn't really wandered off yet. It's good.
I think. How dare you?
But
I don't understand completely.
But it is with much more communication that goes on between and amongst people than we have any conscious idea. Our right brains just have tremendous amount of information about what's going on in one another's bodies and how we attune to each other. And really, that ability to be close to somebody and attuned is what addicts don't have. Right. And they're afraid of it and they avoid it. Oftentimes it's why they use drugs. It's a longer story, but that rupture of the ability to be close to other people is a key trauma in their life. And my job is to get them back into that frame. So I have to be exquisitely sensitive to that experience for them.
Well, that's fascinating, I got to tell you. Dr. Drew, again, Sunday through Thursday, 10 to midnight. Weeknights on the HLN show at 9 o'clock or 6, depending on when it airs for you. And Rehab airs Sundays at 8 on VH1. Thank you, Doctor.
Great, guys. See you.
Bye. Brad Williams filling in for Ralph Garman today. Hey, Brad.
Having a good time today.
What's going on?
This is fun. I'm filling in for the show Biz Beat today, but if you want to see me do stand-up comedy live, I will be at the Irvine Improv Sunday, November 18th, at 7 o'clock p.m. at Irvine Improv.
And then, this Sunday?
Yeah, this Sunday, and then Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, November 23rd, I'll be at the Ontario Improv doing two shows, so giving some love to some IE people out there. And then I think I'm going to be at Miss Double December, too.
I believe that's the plan.
Because it happens.
That's when we met, isn't it?
It is. When Danielle won, I immediately ran on stage and humped her knee. And you guys didn't have a problem with that. So that was great.
Brad came up to me and he goes, "Do you want me to hump her leg?" And when a guy who's 4'4" says that question to me, the automatic answer is absolutely. And he went out and did it. We were best friends from that point on.
Perfect. That's how we bond. So that happens at the Slide Bar, which is right across the street from my house. So I'm like, yeah.
Oh, we're all going back to your house afterwards.
Exactly. Party. Maybe get some little Double D contestants. You know, man. A little after party. You know what I'm saying?
I do, unfortunately.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure you know what I'm saying. All right. All right, so let's get to the showbiz news, everyone. Courtney Stodden was fired.
Fired.
Courtney Stodden, as you may remember, was the teenage 16-year-old bride of Doug Hutchinson, mm-hmm. who was in The Green Mile and Lost. And
Lost
he's 52!
52 and 16.
Yeah, I'm sure they have a lot to talk about.
And her Twitter account, she would tweet on 1 second, she would tweet how grateful she is to God for all of his many blessings. And then the next tweet, she would tweet about how she needs something in her. I mean, it was really just like,
you know, God apparently blessed her with something deep down there. So
whore.
Good for God.
It was really weird.
Well, apparently, she was hired to do some pole dancing at the Abbey in West Hollywood.
She's a whore, okay?
The Abbey is a popular gay nightclub, I believe. Is it?
Yeah.
Or just a club?
I think it's gay.
Yeah. Okay.
Mostly, but...
Yeah, and she was hired to do some pole
dancing.
Sometimes
when
there.
I just want to dance, that's where I go.
Get naked, you strange whore!
Woo! I love doing that. Dude, I don't mind going to gay clubs, personally. I go.
I know you do.
Because, you know, the gay guys love them some little people.
I didn't know that.
Oh, with my butt? I have a black woman's booty.
That's
true. You
know
what I'm saying? So they buy me free drinks all night. I flirt with them, like, give them the, let them think they have a chance.
Right.
I just like,
you just play with him.
Yeah, I get that like a hot girl.
4'4" with a black woman's butt.
That's I think that's Sir Mix-a-Lot's next big hit. 4'4" with a black woman's booty. Well, the Abbey are very smart people because they hired Courtney Stodden based on like a photograph. They thought, oh, there's a hot girl. She can come and dance and have a good time. But then they realized who she was, and they said, nope.
They canceled her.
Canceled.
That. She had a whole show put together. She was going to sing, and she had backup dancers,
oh,
and there was
God.
A pole.
And by the way,
what?
Nothing hurts. Nothing hurts more than getting rejected by a gay man.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's true.
Because they don't just reject you. You don't just get a, I'm sorry, no. You get a, oh, no, girlfriend. Oh, no. You think
I've made my decision.
That? No.
You're fired.
Exactly. You're done. We don't like you. That hair, not working for me. Just not working for me.
You do spend a lot of time there.
I do. Free drinks. Keep me on the topic of breasts.
All right.
You insist. You are leading after all, so go ahead.
I know, right? So go to Double December, then go to Courtney Stodden. Let's go to Keira Knightley. She's posing topless in this month's Allure magazine, which is... not bad at all. And she says she doesn't mind being topless in her movies because she says her breasts are so small that no one is interested.
Wrong.
I reject that claim, Keira Knightley.
Wrong.
Definitely interested. But hey, if that's what gets you to post topless. Go nuts. Think whatever you got to think. But Keira, if you're that concerned about your breast size, date a dwarf. Small hands,
oh,
everything
good.
Looks bigger.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Funny how it always comes back to that for you.
They look that. Yeah, they look like B cups in my hands, man. These things be massive. I'm looking down and be like, where do these things come from? All right. Yeah. Justin Bieber got himself a motorcycle.
Oh, thank God. He's a step closer to death.
I know.
That's great news.
He was photographed on the 405 freeway yesterday, speeding down there.
That isn't good for you.
Speeds excess of 80 miles an hour.
All right.
So, here's my thing, Justin, is you're on the motorcycle because you want people to be seen, you want to feel the wind in your face, all that jazz. Don't even wear the helmet. You got
Agreed. Nice
hair. You know, the ladies like your hair.
You don't want to mess up that hair.
No helmet necessary.
Right.
None whatsoever.
It's the law, but they don't mean it.
Absolutely.
It's like tinting your windows. You can get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares?
So worry about it.
All I'm saying, no helmet. Keep the speeds up to get away from the paparazzi.
Correct.
Right.
You know.
Maybe then, even more.
Sure.
He's only going 80. You can
really
just, you
fast.
Can do 120 on a motorcycle.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a $20,000
no
Ducati.
There you go.
It would be a shame not to go
correct.
That fast.
Absolutely.
A crime.
So I think Bieber's definitely going to do that. Are we talking to Bean next hour?
We are. We're talking to Bean in 10 minutes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Bean got his kidney taken out. Oh, boy.
I think it's going to be, some type of drugged Bean. Which
oh,
I've always,
it's going to be great.
Yeah, I've always liked that.
Hey, I love Percocet.
Hey.
That's going to be great. I can't wait to hear that. Let's get to celebrity birthdays, everyone. Beverly D'Angelo. From Vacation Movies
sure.
and Entourage is 61 years old today. Actor Johnny Lee Miller from Elementary. Great show.
That is a good show.
Is 40 years old today. Chad Kroeger from Nickelback is 38. Gemma Atkinson.
Yeah.
She's 28 years old today. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. And I have Pitter Patter on the showbiz.
Tomorrow at 10 a.m. is your final chance to submit for Miss Double December.
You got to be 21 or over. Go to krock.com. You can complete your submission, send in two photos of yourself. It cuts off tomorrow, though, Friday at 10 a.m., and then we pick the top 10 over the weekend, and on Monday we come back and we tell you the top 10, and you get to start voting. We start having them in the studio, and then we end up on the 30th of November crowning a new Miss Double December. One person who hopes to be at that show is my partner, Bean.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Bean.
Hi, guys. How are you?
How's it going?
It has not been the greatest week ever in terms of just weeks previously in my life where I have not lost an organ.
But right.
I will tell you that I am alive and feeling pretty good, and they're actually going to let me out of the hospital today. So I feel like
no kidding.
I feel like we're right on schedule. Yeah, so I'll be recovering around town for a few days before I get to fly home. But it's been great. I got to tell you, Cedar Sinai, pretty good deal, you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, the food is good. They've got better cable than I have at home. They've got better internet than I have at home. I may want to come back here.
Just live. Maybe you could just rent a room full time.
Seriously, I may look for something else I can give away.
Hot nurses?
I vote other kidney.
Is that Brad Williams?
That is yeah. Brad Williams.
I was told that my kidney was about the size of Brad Williams.
Is it hot?
Let me tell you guys what's going to be cool is that sometime next week, TV cameras have been following this journey between Scott and me leading up to surgery this week, and they're going to show some of it on the CBS Early Show, which is going to be awesome because I'm going to get to see my kidney out of my body. How many people get a chance to see that?
Wait, we're going to see you in surgery.
Wait, I don't want to see surgery.
What's awesome about that?
I want to see that.
I totally want to see it. Yeah, I mean, apparently it's it's kind of like on TV where they take it out of one body and then they run it down the hall to the other body.
And accidentally put it in the wrong person?
No, I don't think so. Don't make me laugh.
Your kidney's just big and brown, and it was out and about in L.A. I think it dated a Kardashian for like 5 seconds.
Well, I'm disappointed to hear that.
It did have a night on the town.
I would hope it would have better taste. But I will tell you, in all seriousness, today's the first day that I went on email, and the messages from the Kevin Bean listeners have just been so heartwarming. I mean, I know that there are a lot of people who've been following this and were really pulling for me, and I really appreciate it. I'm probably not going to, have the strength to write back to everybody, but I can't thank everybody enough for thinking of me and sending notes. And I went down to see Scott yesterday, our friend Scott Mason with the hair.
This is the guy who's getting the kidney.
Right.
Got the kidney.
Yeah, I went down to visit my other kidney, as we say. And we know how poorly he has looked in recent years.
Yeah, he's looked very weak.
It's unbelievable. I mean, the transformation. He looks 10 years younger, smiling, laughing, happy.
Wow.
I mean,
you
guys always make fun of me for being a robot, not a unicorn. But I teared up when I saw him. It was emotional to see how great he looked. And I was talking to his parents. God bless his parents. I've spent a lot of time with them this week, too. And they're like, they can't even believe that they get to go home and pack up that dialysis machine.
Wow.
And all those bags of medicine that they've been putting in him every night for 2.5 years since his kidney failed. And he's just going to be able to live a normal life and just pee like a regular dude. And it's just...
I don't want to ask a follow-up on that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to ask either.
He's going to pee like a regular dude. All right.
Ow.
Don't laugh.
But I, like I've been saying all along, I've taken the long view on this. I knew that this week and the next couple of weeks are going to be pretty uncomfortable. I mean, it frankly hurts to move. I've got a huge, a huge cut in my abdomen.
Of course.
But, I'm going to get past this and I'm going to be back to normal and it's going to be fine. My life's going to go on exactly as it was before. And the difference in his life for maybe 20 years or more is going to be remarkable. It was an easy decision to make and an easy trade-off.
How's his hair? Is it still...
I can't believe they didn't cut off that goddamn ponytail when he was in there.
One of these guys that still rocks the ponytail. Wow.
That was part of the deal. I insisted on that before I went in.
He should have donated his hair to somebody who doesn't have hair.
Yes.
You have to pay it forward. Yeah.
That's exactly what he should have done.
Although no one would have wanted it.
But I will tell you, I've caught up a little bit just through email this morning to see what I've been missing. And I'm so bummed out. You guys had Wing on,
we did.
I missed her.
We did.
You had the Armenian comedian on. Yeah.
We missed him. Yeah.
And Travis Barker, one of my favorite people in the world,
you had the best on. Yep.
I'm super bummed out about all the stuff I've missed, you guys. I hate it.
It was amazing how many people agreed to do the show when they knew you were going to be gone.
How dare you?
Wait a minute. Bean's not there? Fantastic.
All of a sudden, people are lined up. You know, it's been weird, though, because there are a lot of people here at the hospital who are Kevin and Bean fans. So I've been hearing bits and pieces. People have come in and said, oh, I heard this thing, and it was so funny, and it was just really, really weird, you know?
Where can people visit you, just to give out...
People cannot visit me.
I'm saying if they want to, though.
I don't want people to visit me when I'm well, much less when I'm not
I know,
well.
But I'm saying if they want to give you flowers or something.
What room number are you in?
Where are you?
I can't hear you. Guys are breaking up.
I was telling Brad Williams off the air, I was saying, you know how some people say they don't want to be visited, but they really do? That's
yeah.
not Bean.
That's not Bean. No, I really don't want to be visited. I just I got my follow-up doctor's appointment on Monday, and hopefully they'll clear me and I can fly home on Tuesday. I'm so excited to get home for Thanksgiving. It's just going to be, you know, not to get emotional again, but Thanksgiving is really going to mean something this year. I'm so thankful that
for the first time in your life,
I'm just right. so thankful that everything worked out so well for me and for Scott. And it's been a blessing. I mean, it's one of the most rewarding things I've ever done in my life. You guys, it's been great.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, are you able to eat?
I started on solid food last night. I'm not.
Fantastic.
You know what's interesting, and I won't get into any detail of this. They allow me to eat. They do not allow me to poop.
What? How do they stop you?
I don't want to know how they stop him.
I do.
They couldn't stop me.
That would be
my only goal then.
I'm going to leave that as a mystery question for Roger. I am not allowed to poop.
Wow. Really?
Is there a plug involved?
What?
What's going on?
They just want to just keep filling you up and see how much they can get
Bean
in there.
Has a butt plug. This is the best news ever. Omar's going to be so excited.
How dare you.
Hey, I talked to Dr. Drew last hour.
Oh, tell me.
And I asked him about recovery from this type of surgery, and I said, you know, we're doing our Miss Double December, the tomorrow at 10 they have to stop sending in their submissions, and then on the 30th at the slide bar we're going to crown a new Miss Double December, and Bean hopes to be there. And Dr. Drew said
yep.
Wow, that's sad, because, you know, I'll do pretty much anything for boobs.
Yeah. He said it's probably good that you've got that out there in front of you.
Yeah, I would hate to miss that show, you guys. That really is one of the most fun shows. Isn't that where we fell deeply in love with Brad Williams?
Was it
that
is.
Was Double D a couple of years ago, right? When
he humped
the winner's leg.
He humped the winner, yeah. That's when we fell deeply in love with Brad.
And then her kneecap got pregnant.
Yeah. So, look, I hope I can make it. You know, I'm really going to just take doctor's orders and go day by day and try not to overdo it. I mean, honestly, it's great to talk to you guys, but I am already getting tired just from being on the phone this long. You know, there is definitely going to be some bounce back time, but I'm really happy I got a chance to come on and talk to you guys.
Well, we're glad to get the update. We're glad you're doing well. We're glad Scott's doing well.
Hey, I miss all you guys. I really do. I'm looking forward to getting back on the air soon. So you guys keep doing what you're doing.
Keep on keeping on.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah. He sounds good.
He sounds healthy.
Yeah.
He sounds like it went well.
Yeah, he wasn't as drugged up as I thought he was going to be.
I know. I was kind of disappointed by that. Yeah. I really wanted to hear druggy Bean. I really wanted to hear morphine Bean. That's what I was looking for.
More propofol.
They won't let him poop.
I've never heard of that. That's horrible. All right, it is 9:39. This is the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Ralph is out today as well. Brad Williams, our friend, is filling in for Ralph, and he's filling in for Ralph as well tonight.
Yeah.
At San Manuel as we do our poker tournament.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to be playing poker down there, sitting at the table with people.
Here's the thing. Brad doesn't know how to play.
Nope.
So.
Wow. A whole lot of people just decided to come out
today.
Those
of you that are sitting at Brad's table, you enjoy that.
You win. That, and with a head my size, there's no hiding emotion. There's no such thing as poker face.
It's at San Manuel, and there's no buy-in. Zero. $0 that you have to put out,
that
which is
awesome.
If you play poker, you know that never happens.
Right.
And somebody's going to walk away with 10 grand. So,
not me.
Nope. Pretty cool dude. It's not going to be Brad, though, so you're all good.
Although that could buy a lot of stepladders. That would really help me out. Can I be a new charity?
Is that in your spank bank?
Stepladders? Yes. Dwarfs, jerk it to stepladders. I was like, oh, three rung. Silver, wood, metal, aluminum. Woohoo!
We'll see you tonight. Time for the final showbiz beat of the day. Here's Brad Williams.
Yeah, and if you can't come out tonight and play poker, you can come see me at the Irvine Improv Sunday, November 18th. I'm going to be headlining there on the show. And then Friday, November 23rd, the day after Thanksgiving, I will be at the Ontario Improv doing two shows. So a couple of chances to come out and see some stand-up.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? I'm sure
there's a Marriott close. I think Glenda will be there too. So.
How far is the festival from the Marriott, Palm Desert,
I don't know. I'm a dwarf. It takes me a long time to walk it.
It takes like three steps for every human.
Yeah, exactly.
Regular human.
This one's flat by three. All right, let's get to the showbiz news. And I better get this out because these are the end times.
Uh-oh, why?
The world is ending.
Why?
Because we just found out, or we will find out tonight on NBC, Michael Lohan fathered another child.
That can't be possible.
Yes. And you might say, okay, but this is a baby, so we can still teach it in the ways of normal people.
We can take it away from him.
Right.
Right.
Wrong.
Like a kid that grew up in the forest.
I would say wrong, sir. Raised by bears, better than raised by Michael Lohan.
Yes, correct.
The child is
We can take this child and put it in the forest and it would be better off.
The child is actually 17 years old. That means driving. The mother, Christy Horn, has been claiming that Michael was the father for years. Michael refused to acknowledge it, refused to do child support payments. But then Christy said, you know what? Let's do a DNA test on live TV.
Wait, first she said, let's do a DNA test.
Right.
And he said, no.
He said
on TV.
Oh, you mean I could humiliate my entire family and anyone who cares about me in front of millions? I'm in!
So he agreed to doing it on TV.
So he agreed to do it. Turns out he is the father, and the young girl is 17 years old, which means she was born in 1995, and he's got kids with Dina Lohan, Allie and Cody, who were born in 1993 and 96.
I'm no mathematician.
Yeah.
Seems like perhaps this kid is born in between those kids.
Yeah, so there may have been some stepping out. But
by Michael
shocker.
Lohan, I doubt
news
it.
Of this century. Would have been a good horror movie during the last Halloween season.
Horror movie? Yeah, you're right.
Daughter of Lohan. So, moving from that story, going on to Selena Gomez. Apparently, of course, her and Justin Bieber just broke up. And Perez Hilton is reporting that Selena just wasn't that into Justin Bieber. And that Bieber actually proposed two times.
Oh, that's great.
And Selena said negative.
That's so great. It's all right that she doesn't love him. He loves himself enough for both of them.
Absolutely. Turned him down twice. Word is that Selena turned him down because gay marriage is not yet legalized in California, and apparently two lesbians can't marry yet.
Ouch.
So.
Wait a minute. I think you're are you calling Justin?
No.
No.
All right. That's alleged. And then, for those of you out there that were going, I hope that Hulk Hogan's sex tape never goes away. Good news for you!
Was there anyone saying that?
maybe. Bruce the Barber Beefcake? I think he was saying that. I think the Iron Sheik, he was pretty dedicated on that one
sure.
as well. A judge ruled that the website Gawker.com is allowed to keep the wrestler's sex tape online, the clip of the sex tape. You may remember that Hulk Hogan actually sued Gawker.com for $100 million, hoping that they would take the video down. But the judge said that it's not a violation of his privacy because at this point, enough people have seen it that it's out there. It's no longer private, so they shouldn't be forced to take it down. It's their right, their free speech. So now, if you want, anyone can go online and watch the Hulk Hogan sex tape.
You're on the Gawker site right there, aren't you?
Yeah, here's the Gawker site.
Come on. We have to clean that up.
So disgusting.
Wow.
God.
Well, they could have shown more of her. That's all we're saying.
Do you guys know that when a dwarf pukes, you get a wish?
I didn't know that.
You do. Make a wish, everybody.
Who knew?
Speaking of people who have wishes, let's get to celebrity birthdays. Actress Beverly D'Angelo from the Vacation movies and on Entourage is 61 years old today. Johnny Lee Miller playing on Elementary. Watson and Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes is the word you're looking for.
Yeah.
Take it from a guy who can never think of the words he's looking for.
Yes. He plays Sherlock Holmes. He's 40 years old today. Chad Kroeger of Nickelback is 38. And Gemma Atkinson is 28 years old today. I'm Brad Williams. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. And I pitter patter on the showbiz beat.
Thank you for filling in today, Brad. We appreciate
it. No problem.
Always the best. Cousin Sal tomorrow with his NFL picks as it is Friday. We have comedian Lewis Black running on Empty Tour talking about that. We have Michael Rooker.
I don't know if you recognize that name or not, but you might recognize the name Merle from Walking Dead.
Yes. Merle is so creepy.
We've got Merle on the show tomorrow and the president of the USC, Dana White, talking about UFC 154.
President of the USC?
Did I say USC?
Yeah, fight on, brother.
UFC 154, talking about George St. Pierre versus Carlos Condit, which is this weekend, this Saturday night. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.